This hour is supported by Robbins Kaplan, LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian Country.
Live from Macho Blue Earth, Robbins Kaplan Studios, Native Roots Radio.
So we went to all the powwows when we were young. At that time, children could not dance. Only people over 50 years of age could dance. Most people do not know this, that the government forbid children to dance Indian. And that was so they could wipe out the culture of the young people, and then finally the new generation would never know what
happened. I'm a member of the American Indian Movement, and I'm from the indigenous nations of the Western Hemisphere.
We American Indians, we can be anything we want to be, except American Indians.
You were here long before any of us were here.
Buju, everybody. My name is Peggy Flanagan. Guabagani Gadi Kagan Jujaba. I'm from the White Earth Nation, and my family's the Wolf Clan.
There's trouble in Custer, South Dakota yesterday.
That the American Indian Movement is a very proud, continuing part of American Indian society. I thank you.
So what I tell you is that we are not backing down. We are here, we'll stand here, because we have been here for 10,000 years. We're the home team, and we're not going anywhere.
Right now, hey, I have an awesome guest here from Robbins Kaplan, LLP. I have Brendan Johnson, who is the co-chair of the American Indian Law and Policy Group. Welcome, and Pini Gigi for all you do, Brendan.
Robert, thanks so much for having me. It's an honor to be on the program today.
So, hey, can you give my studio audience or my my studio audience? I have my puppy right here. Can you give our audience a good overview of what you've been doing and what you've been up to? Because we're really excited to have you support us because of all the wonderful things that Robbins Kaplan LLP does.
Well, thanks, Robert. And let me say, you know, for us, it's an honor to be on your program because we appreciate how you bring, really truth and you bring knowledge to the people. And so understand that we're grateful for what you're doing. So I was a U.S. attorney for Barack Obama in South Dakota, and I was one of the chairmen at the Department of Justice for their Native American Issues Subcommittee. And I'm very familiar with a lot of our my tribal friends all over the country, and specifically in South Dakota and Minnesota, because my dad was the U.S. Senator, the last Democrat from South Dakota, Tim Johnson, and he was on the Indian Affairs Committee. So Robert, what our practice is really based on is a lot of these high level issues for the tribes, and you know, making sure on big cases and difficult situations that tribes aren't forgotten and that they have seat at the table, my friend.
Hey, we're here with Brendan Johnson with Robbins Kaplan LLP. What is happening right now? I know you guys have a lot of things going on in litigation and working on for our Native people across the country. What is the number one thing that you're working on right now?
You know, Robert, what has me most concerned right now with Native Americans is violence against Native American women, okay? Mm-hmm. The reality here is that Native American women are the most victimized group in the United States, okay? Mm-hmm. 1 in 3 Native American women will be sexually assaulted in their lifetime. And my experience here in the Great Plains is that in a lot of our tribal communities, that number can even be higher than 1 in 3, okay? Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that Congress got right when it came to trying to do more to protect Native American women is they passed the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act, Robert. So they call that VAWA, right? Mm-hmm. Now, why that is important for tribal communities is what that allowed tribal communities to do is that they could start prosecuting in tribal court now, non-Indians who committed domestic violence against Native Americans. It is huge, right? And that's exactly the way that, you know, that this should be, where Native Americans, tribal communities can have, the sovereignty to prosecute people who violate their laws. But here's what bothers me, Robert. Here's why we should be concerned, is that Congress has not reauthorize the Violence Against Women Act. And so now that is throwing a lot of this stuff into question because they haven't passed the legislation to reauthorize it. Now, mm-hmm. they need to get with it, and they need to pass that because that was one of the things that they actually did right for tribal communities, and we do not want tribes to see that that element of their sovereignty go away. We want to make sure that tribes can prosecute non-Indians in their courthouses for domestic violence. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I'd like to see them be able to prosecute non-Indians for any time they break tribal law, in my view, Robert.
That's huge, and to me, it seems like it's common sense, and mm-hmm. so let's keep that going. Now, I know you guys really are heavily into the opioid crisis, too, in the United right. States with our Native brothers and sisters.
Right. You know, what we've seen, you know, and me coming from South Dakota, Robert, mm-hmm. I know a lot of our tribes and a lot of the tribes that we now represent in Minnesota. Man, they've been hit harder with this opioid crisis than any other community, okay? Mm-hmm. And so what we've seen is that it affects all generations, but what concerns me the most, concerns mm-hmm. me the absolute most, is how it is affected with Native American mothers who are giving birth to children who are addicted to opioids, okay? And so what we see them is you have these children who are born with a health crisis because they have an addiction, but then it also leads to the breakdown of families, and so then you have Indian Child Welfare Act issues, right? You have court, right. tribes spending all sorts of money and the possibility of losing children because of this epidemic, not only because of death, but also because of the breakdown of families. And so it's one thing when you have a large community like, say, Minneapolis, and they have an opioid epidemic, and that's really serious. But understand the difference. If you've got a tribal community, you know, that's maybe got a few thousand members, mm-hmm. when they have an opioid epidemic, it is a threat to their existence. It's
That's
a threat
right.
to their survival. And so their voices echo, okay, that
right.
tribes are going to have a seat at the table. Their voices echo, okay, that
right.
tribes are going to have a seat at the table. Their voices are going to be heard, and there's going to be some real solutions coming to Indian country. That's what we've got to be demanding in this, Robert.
I know, and it's really – how long has Robbins Kaplan been stepping up like this? This is just amazing to you know, there's such a small population, and we need as many people helping us and many allies that we can get. How long has Robbins Kaplan been really working hard for Native issues here?
You know, it's interesting, Robert, because last week you had my partner, Tim Purdon, from North Dakota on. And so when we worked for Barack Obama at the Justice Department, what we saw is we didn't feel like there were enough law firms out there stepping up and really fighting for mm-hmm. Indian tribes. And so we decided towards the end of the Obama administration, we said, hey, let's leave together. Let's go to a law firm. And actually, at that time, our law firm, Robbins Kaplan, they didn't even have an Indian law program.
Wow.
But what we liked about them, man, is that they were out there. They were the ones in Minnesota that sued Big Tobacco for billions of dollars, right?
Right.
And so everybody's known about this law firm for a long time that, man, these guys are tough. They're
mm-hmm.
good. They get awesome results. And what Tim and I said is, hey, we want to come to work for you, and we want to bring this power, right, this power that you guys have, we want to use that on behalf of Indian tribes. Because Indian tribes, they're fighting against big odds.
Right.
They're fighting against energy companies. They're
mm-hmm.
fighting against the government. And they're so often the underdog. And so we want to take the power of this law firm, and we want to use that for Indian tribes. And so we've been doing that now for about 4 years.
Well, one of the things I know you guys really helped support down in South Dakota when there was voter suppression happening, and can you tell us just a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that Tim and I take a lot of pride in is you know, we do a lot of free legal work. So there's two pro bono cases I'll tell you about real quick, Robert.
Mm-hmm.
One is when North Dakota, you know, because we see this in North Dakota and South Dakota, they oftentimes try to make it really hard for Indians to vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do everything in their power to make it as difficult as possible. So in North Dakota, we sued the state on behalf of mm-hmm. certain tribal members to try to roll back some of their laws that were making making it harder for Native Americans to vote. Mm-hmm. So we did that. And the other big case, Robert, I'll just briefly touch on, mm-hmm. is in South Dakota, we're representing the Rosebud Sioux tribe, mm-hmm. and we're actually suing Indian Health Services.
Yep.
And what we're saying is the delivery of health care on the reservation has been so atrocious that they're actually violating their treaty responsibility.
Uh-huh.
And it's a first time that, mm-hmm. that anybody's ever brought a case like this, where we're saying, hey, look, these treaties still matter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we can't have tribal members dying in ambulances because the ER has been shut down because the quality of care is so bad. You know, when that sort of thing happens, then the federal government is violating its treaty rights, in our view. So that's another one of the issues that we're fighting hard on right now, Robert.
Wow, that's awesome. So can you just give we got like a minute and a half left here. Can you just give a quick rundown on what our Robbins Kaplan does for Native people, for people that are just stepping into their car and listening to the show? Because I think it really needs to be put out there how supportive Robbins Kaplan LLP has been.
Well, thanks, Robert. Yeah, you know, and we do a lot of different work for tribal members and for tribes themselves. You know, and oftentimes we're representing people when they're at their worst moment. You know, where we've represented tribal members in the past when there's been shootings in the community. We've represented folks that have been horribly injured in car accidents or as a result of medical malpractice cases. So we do a lot of work for individuals who get seriously injured or sometimes for families after a loved one has passed away, working for those people to make sure that their rights are protected. So that's a big part of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, also working with tribes on things like economic development, industrial hemp now, mm-hmm. which I know has been a big issue with Winona LaDuke, God
right.
bless her, and Minnesota, man, and mm-hmm. she's a national leader on this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're working with tribes on some cannabis issues, on some industrial hemp. And, you know, again, when there's situations where you have tribes that are facing tough odds mm-hmm. and big obstacles, that's when we like to come in and make sure that that they've got some pretty heavy artillery in their corner, and that's what we do.
Wow. I want to thank you, Brendan Johnson of Robbins Kaplan LLP, for being our guest, and keep up the great work. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States. And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Native-owned Meg Mechanical is your local heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professional. Meg has the experience needed to diagnose and repair your heating and air conditioning systems. Whether repair or complete mechanical design, we do it all. No job is too big or too small. Meg Mechanical has completed projects as large as U.S. Bank Stadium and will provide the same great service in your home. Visit magmechanical.com or call 612-655-5339. Please remember Mag Mechanical when you have HVAC needs. Mention this ad to receive 1 hour of free service. Fig and Farrell. We are a mission-based restaurant. Serving up delicious plant-based food isn't our only priority. We are climate change activists who are educating guests on the enormous carbon footprint that is created by livestock production. Join us in eating less meat and enjoying food that is good for you and the planet. We're in Uptown Minneapolis, right in Calhoun Square, on the corner of Link and Hennepin. Visit figandfarrow.com for daily hours. Fig and Farrow, serving delicious plant-based food.
When we go out to browse for books and grab something to eat, Moon Palace Books is where we go.
This unique bookstore is located at 3032 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, just minutes from St. Paul.
A great place to find one-of-a-kind books, cards, and great gifts.
Geek Love Cafe at Moon Palace Books has cold-pressed coffee, pizza, salads.
Local, organic, fair trade, vegan, carnivore options.
Beer and wine.
Community performance room.
Great parking.
What are we waiting for? Let's go to
Moon Palace Books, 3032 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakanja Hade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ho-Chunk Nation, the people with the sacred voice.
Ahoo, Pinigigi. Hey, we're really excited to have one of Ho-Chunk's great leaders that we've had in the past 5 years, 5, 10 years, and for a long time, Choka.
Awesome president.
Yeah, and he's working for the Department of Heritage and Preservation now, and he's got a piece that he's going to be giving to us every once in a while, but it's a very powerful piece, and this is John Greendeer. And by the way, John Greendeer, happy birthday, belated birthday.
Aho, happy birthday, John.
Let's roll it.
Aho, anach, chini kutagi we know. Mashuska hingaide. Ho chunkija waunjade. To everyone out there, I send a greeting. Mashuska is what they call me. It translates to white feather. I am a member, a proud member of the Ho-Chunk Nation, a member of the Deer Clan. I also consider myself a student of our language and traditional way of life. And, you know, spending a lot, an awful lot of time making sure that what I do is reflective of what my ancestors, what I was told our ancestors did. And, you know, making decisions, shaping every walk of life, even beyond ceremony, to what I do or my family does each day. So that's a real broad way of saying that I try to do things that strengthen my connection or strengthen my identity of who I am. And it's nothing new. I think a lot of people in my generation are doing the exact same thing. What we're finding out is the resources aren't just laying out on the table or not something you can just throw into a Google search engine. And so today, instead of having this information and this richness passing through family bloodlines, you know, for generations and generations, we've had some major breaks that, you know, fractured that system, you know, primarily, you know, colonization and boarding schools, just to name a couple principal ones, you know, war, anything that, that could, you know, sever that communication did. and here we sit today looking back at, you know, this life of thriving. You know, most non-native authors and, you know, folks who are gifted in articulation will say, well, the Indians survived. We didn't survive. We lived. We thrived. We perpetuated. This was life. It wasn't, you know, something that we were constantly battling the elements or warfare, disease. And so I think the story has to be changed. It has to be more accurate, you know, for our young ones. Or they're going to think that, you know, some colonists came in and saved the day. that's simply not true. So, you know, we know this. A lot of other people know this. And so this connection, the reason why we're here today is because this amazing gift of adaptation and this ability to thrive in a despite any environmental conditions make up who we are. So we are the people of the sacred voice. This is something I felt was really amazing. And as we learn each day, you know, more and more people with their interests will come over. And oftentimes they'll come to me with a question. And I will be honest that, you know, 9 out of 10 times I don't know the answer to that question. I may know who does or where to find the answer, but I may not know. And you know, that always tells me that I'm not the only one. And so, you know, helping them along on their path to find some of those answers, but also making sure that, you know, sharing my experiences, learning is that while you're looking for the answer, you're probably going to rack up a few more questions along the way. And knowing how to ask those questions is really important. When and where, those things all go along with this. And this is a part of, you know, the genesis of what oral tradition is today. You know, these go back hundreds, even thousands of years passed on. And, you know, there's variations based on, you know, what values, principles, and elements each family holds. And all of a sudden, we got to a point where, you know, probably foreseen by our elders that we're going to have to actually come together to make this thing work. And this is where we are today. So, you know, this is a struggle to make sure that we have something to pass on to our children. And, you know, it's a struggle, yes, but it's also an adventure. It's something that I find is, brings us together as Ho-Chunk people, you know, despite the history and the conditions that, you know, separated us or any of our walks of life, it really kept us together as one. So, when asked these questions, sometimes even if the answer is right there, it's not mine to answer. It belongs, you know, to their family members to give them, you know, or their clan leaders to give them. And other times, you know, just giving the answer probably gives a very valueless, two-dimensional, you know, linear Western response to a question when in actuality that answer holds a lot of traditional value. So that means, you know, going back a couple stages, like that uncle that always tells you a story to tell a story to tell a story. You know, sometimes that may involve going back to where we came from, you know, as we were told in so many different variations. And, you know, that's the one thing that has changed a lot is, you know, we've come to an area where, you know, people are scared to tell that story. People are scared to tell what they've heard because they don't want to be set up for ridicule or for rejection or, you know, anything like that. And so oftentimes these stories, if they are passed down in silence and, you know, and then the opposite end by telling the story very openly, you risk the chance of the next, you know, provocative author or film writer coming to exploit those. And so we have to kind of walk in the middle of the road here to preserve what we have. And so, you know, we are the Ho-Chunk people. We are the people of the sacred voice. You often hear them people of the big voice as well. But, you know, where that comes from, you know, going back to our creation of when, you know, our creator, you know, made this earth, made these rivers and trees, hills, valleys, all these medicines that were placed down here, you know, the rocks. And for every one of them, for an amazing reason, an amazing purpose. And then eventually, you know, as he makes our, as they call them, four-leggeds or our animal relatives here, and our two-leggeds, our brothers and sisters, he looks upon his creation and wants to know what, if he's done well by his own creation, and asks this man that he had recently created to look upon this and tell him what he feels, what he thinks about what is around him. Only coming to realize that the man couldn't hear, couldn't see that creation, couldn't sense it, you know, couldn't hear it, and you know, hear the questions. So he gives this man these wonderful gifts that kind of, you know, make him distinct, you know, from his other creations. Gives him a heart to lead his thoughts. Places that in him, and then ultimately reaches over in different variations and ends up giving him this voice, the most important part of what this man was, so this man could speak to the creator. So, you know, when our Ho-Chunk people were, when we say we were given this voice, we weren't really given it. It isn't ours. It's ours to use to speak to our creator. And today that's done in so many different forms with so many different fireplaces. And so, you know, at that point, you know, our ancestors could speak to our creator and tell him those things that what he's given is good and give thanks to that. So, you know, we always like, maybe I'm saying this wrong, but you know, there I go again, wrong or right. But I often tell folks that we are named We come from our language. That's who we are. It wasn't the other way around. Our language is basically who defined us, what defined us. And so it is often said without dispute that without our language, we don't exist as Ho-Chunk people. And, you know, just like anything that's repeated over time as you grow up, you start to realize that, you know, they're right. This is, you know, whatever your belief system is, this language is where we come from. And so, you know, we've also, along with, you know, repeated context, you know, I'm a member of a generation that, you know, has heard this their entire life. Your language is dying. It's going to be extinct. You're going to lose it every single day of my life. You know, when you tell individuals or communities or generations those things, you're basically making a prophetic statement that this is what's going to happen. Same thing as if you tell a student that they're no good, that their work doesn't matter, or that a worker that says they have no value to the company, or a child in your home that they're naughty and they're wonk, or, you know, which means naughty. You know, when you create that negative environment, you produce that negative result. So it's taken a lot for a generation of non-speakers and speakers to come together and essentially pull this big ship that was headed for the ground and keep it from hitting and crashing and being gone. And fortunately, people way before I was even born saw this coming and made preparations. And, you know, maybe they weren't the loudest out there, but they were, you know, preserving that language and by continuing to use it. So even today, you know, now I hope the general attitude is when folks come to work that, you know, or folks like myself and others who are reconnecting, that we're not going to lose our language. We are definitely on the road to revitalize and make this a part of who we are again. We have to accept certain facts that, you know, we're not going to have all the language that our grandparents or ancestors did. But, you know, just as any language, including English, does tend, you know, to morph and evolve, we're going to have a language here that, you know, we can say is a part of what we were given and what identifies us. So this is us as Ho-Chunk people. There's so much more to this, but I want to say that, you know, it's always... learning is always a great experience with great people that, you know, have the same values and the same objectives to that. So with that, I want to say Hana Chechji, Hina Gigi, Wa'igi Nump Wi Wahaje.
Ahu, that was John Greendeer of Department of Heritage and Preservation of Ho-Chunk Nation. We are so, so happy to have you contribute to Native Roots Radio. We're going to be right back with Beverly Bushyhead, who's chair of the Urban Indian Advisory Board. We'll be right back. Nation.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods, where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
While I'm pregnant, I can keep our baby safe by not drinking, smoking, or using drugs. But how are we going to keep her safe after she's born?
When I grow up, I look forward to dancing in powwows, going to college, and being successful. But I don't want to be one out of three American Indian women to be raped or sexually assaulted in her lifetime.
As relatives and friends of Native women, it is our responsibility to stand up and speak out for every woman's right to be safe in her home and the community.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Northland Visions is a destination and Native-owned business to share with friends, specializing in Native American art from the Woodlands and Plains tribes surrounding Minnesota. They carry Native food like wild rice, wild berry jellies and syrups, also moccasins, blankets, beadwork, ceremonial supplies, beads, and much more. Visit northlandvisions.com to take a virtual 360 tour of our new space and new location at 861 East Hennepin Avenue in Northeast Minneapolis. Stop into Northland Visions for Native American art and unique Minnesota gifts.
J. J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be mostly sunny with a high near 35, and tonight, increasing clouds with a low around 20. Sunday, a 20% chance of snow before 1 p.m. with a high near 37. Monday, partly sunny with a high near 39 and a low around 27. Your Eat Local Minnesota's restaurant of the week is the Downtowner Woodfire Grill. The Downtowner is the perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Experience their cozy fireside dining alongside their delicious food and extensive wine list. Check out the full menu at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice, and also J&S Bean Factory, roasting beans one day at a time at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul.
The good stuff. Or wait, is that the good stuff?
That's the good stuff.
Yeah, I'm going there right afterwards and get a pound of ground. They have really dark Colombian coffee.
Let's go.
Hey, I'm really happy to have Beverly Bushyhead here. I've been following you and all you do, and I want to welcome you to be on our show. And it says here that you're chair of the Urban Indian Advisory Board. So I want to welcome you because you sound like royalty.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
Right on. So let's talk a little bit about what you do. First of all, who are you and where are you from? That's what we always like to ask here.
Yep. So Beverly Bushyhead, I'm from Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians, which is the original band of the Cherokees. So there's a Cherokee tribe that's in Oklahoma. I'm not that tribe. Art Colson, other guys are that tribe. I'm from the Eastern Coast, and we're the remnants. We're considered the original tribe and the faction that remained on our original land. So we're pretty proud of that.
That's huge. That's really huge.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
So how long you been up in the cities?
So, okay, this is how old I am, guys. I moved here in 1993. And if you've shoveled snow that many years, you're Minnesotan now.
That's right. That's right.
Like paying your dues, right?
That's right. Oh, boy. Well, you missed the 91 snowstorm, but I'm sure people were talking about it when you came here.
Absolutely. They still talk about it. Yeah.
Right. Right. So what brought you up here to the Great Northwest?
So my mom was teaching at Hamline. I came to visit her, and I just never left. She left. Everybody left that I know. I just stayed. I love it here.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really imagine living anywhere else. I think it's the winters that draw me.
Well, Prince always used to say the cold weather keeps the bad people away.
No.
So that's why he stayed here all those years.
Nice.
Yeah. So what are you doing now?
So I am a consultant, and mm-hmm. I do a lot of things to represent the community. As you mentioned, I'm the chair of the Urban and Indian Advisory Board and work in equity. I really think it's really important for that Native community voice to be present at lots of different tables, and so I try to work on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did we meet?
So you and I met at an interesting crisis, in a response to a crisis. There's a KFAI radio show, Indigeneity Rising, and Roy Taylor, who actually brought me to radio. That's a whole different story. He had a need to have some support to keep his show going. And so you and I met, and in that effort, it was really fantastic, and I love it.
It is fantastic, and I think it's very important to keep the voices out there and keep keep Native people speaking our own truth. And I think it's very important. And it was a crisis. You do he has a great show on KFAI, and we put some excerpts from Native Roots Radio on there now, and we want to keep the voice going. And I really enjoy your work. And tell us about your other work that you do for KFAI.
Thanks. So I do Messages from the Drum. You know, it was in response to Crystal Echohawk's research around Native invisibility in the culture across society, and how people think we're extinct, people think we don't exist, people see us as a people of the past and not contemporary issues. And I think it was really important to create a storytelling platform for that, to bring those, you know, contemporary issues and those stories to light. One of the things that I found interesting, I think people thought that would mean that which wolf you feed, you know, that that kind of story, but it's very rigorous. So we've had Native astronauts, we've had scientists, we've had geneticists, we've had like heavy duty, rigorous research and science presented on that show. It's really fantastic, really fun, and an honor to bring it.
Right, and then so there's stuff going on too. Are you part of the people getting together the Native American Day on May 1st?
There will be a whole lot of sharing on that. I have this dream of like being out there remote. You know how you see like your show having a visual part to it, but being out there with a microphone talking to people as it happens, I think that could be really exciting.
And I think a lot of Natives, I don't know, Choka, a lot of Natives like to be behind the microphone, huh?
I love it.
Good for you.
I got a face for radio. Thank you. But yeah, so let's talk a little bit about our project here. What do you bring to the table? Do you bring your stories? What do you want to bring to the table with the KFAI show?
So, you know, I never thought of myself as being on radio. I never dreamed I would ever try anything like that. But Roy Taylor is the one. I'll blame Roy. Roy brought me to radio because he saw a video that was playing of me in the Minneapolis Institute of Arts. I was introducing some Native people and their art in a what they called a period room. So they were demonstrating a period room that they went down into the South, reconstructed here inside the museum, floors and walls and windows. It was very fascinating. And it's a kernel, but they knew that there was a Native presence in that area, and I was the only bushy head they could find in the state of Minnesota. Doesn't surprise me. Not real typical. So they asked me if I would be willing to come, and I absolutely was. They ran that video for a year, and Roy happened to see it. And he called me and said, would you be interested? Have you ever thought of being on radio? And I hadn't. I'd only thought of being on videos. I'm just teasing.
But you got a great voice, and I know
you
captured what you were speaking a couple of weeks ago. I was listening to our show, and you have a great voice.
Thanks. So I guess that's how I got to be on radio, and that's what I'm happy to do it if it can help community. It means a lot to me to bring something that adds to community and adds to our lack of invisibility. We're visible. We're not just visible. We're amazing. We come from cultural magnificence, and that needs to somehow show. And so that's what I hope to do.
Wow, I want to put that on our next T-shirt. We come from cultural magnificence. I can't say
it. I love it. Yes, we do.
That's awesome.
Yep. Yeah. And when we know that about ourselves, then we become decolonized. We start loving who we are. We stop having to worry about, does it show? You know what I mean? There's all these terms about us and our ways, and it was criminalized for so long. It's hard to love that part of yourself. And now to bring it, to showcase it, to demonstrate it, that's big, I think.
Wow, I'm excited just hearing about this. So, really, and you bring a lot of excitement and truth to the airwaves, and that's exciting for us to have you here. What else can you tell us? You know, I think we're trying to hold on to Roy's show so there's more voice out there. When is it on?
So Roy's show runs from 1 to 2 p.m. every Wednesday. You and I and Melissa Olson have joined efforts to bring the Native voice, to retain that spot for Native in community. And one of the things that I think is important is you have your programming that's happening at AM 950, and you bring that and your history and all your connections. And I bring my idea about equity and raising that storytelling platform so that we're visible. And Melissa brings her past and funding and different ways that she's worked in journalism. So all of us have a lot to offer. Roy continues to be involved in that program, and I think it's hugely important. He is Pawnee Nation and quite a voice, that signature voice that only Roy had. And so I just really appreciate being able to hold that space for him until he can come back fully and be on the air.
That's great. You know, I agree 100%. We're going to come back with Beverly Bushyhead, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
We are Alusa Nation.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
I'm here with Greg, owner of Northland Visions. Greg, what is Northland Visions?
Well, thanks, Robert. Northland Visions is a Native American art and gift store. We concentrate on woodlands and plains Native American art and gifts from our surrounding tribes.
Why plains and woodlands art?
Well, my father is Ojibwe from northern Minnesota, and he started the company 18 years ago, and we wanted to represent the state. So we have the Ojibwe of northern Minnesota, and then Wisconsin, Michigan, and towards the east coast are the woodland tribes, and then southern Minnesota you have the Dakota, and then you go west, and it's North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, and up into Canada are the plains tribes. So we started the company, Northland Visions, as a Native-based gift packaging company offering unique gift baskets filled with local Native-based foods like hand-harvested wild rice, wild berry jellies and syrups, and much more. And Northland grew so fast, we needed to move from our home-based business to a storefront, hence our start on Franklin Avenue. Here it is, 18 years later, and we've expanded to our new location, which is twice as large in northeast Minneapolis, and we're located in the historical Miller Textile Building. We grew from our humble beginnings of making seasonal gift baskets to offering original paintings, sculptures, beadwork, quillwork, turquoise jewelry, blankets, moccasins, drums, dream catchers, and the largest selections of Native-based beads and supplies in the area, which is also available on our online store at northlandvisions.com. So be sure to follow us on Facebook to get up-to-the-date notifications on events, sales, and new products on our Facebook page, Northland Visions Native Art and Gifts. And also come down to visit us at Northland Visions for your gift-giving needs or a little something for yourself. We are only 7 minutes away from our old location with plenty of parking and wheelchair access at 861 East Hennepin Avenue, or visit us on the web, northlandvisions.com.
That was Greg of Northland Visions. Thank you so much, Greg. Pini Gigi.
Thank you, Robert.
Genocide, lost language, rape, isolation, colonization, assault, disease and torture, school, lost family, abuse, relocation, lost customs, allotments, hate, reservation. Fear.
History has taken its toll on our families. Our fathers and grandfathers, our mothers, our grandmothers, they didn't deserve to be raped and abused. I don't deserve to be raped and abused. Today I walk with pride. I'm reclaiming my body, my heritage, and traditional customs that value all living things. I'm learning healthy boundaries, and I stand with Minnesota Indian women to end sexual violence. Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakanjahade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Meg Mechanical, on time, on budget, HVAC needs, and also by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
And we love Mike Gozy.
Who?
You know, He's a Ho-Chunk, too. So, hey, we're here with Beverly Bushyhead, and she's chairman of the Urban Indian Advisory Board, but also the voice of KFAI.
Ahoo.
Hey, ahoo. No, let's talk a little bit more about that, and that's just to remind everybody, we're doing pieces. It's almost a magazine.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. I love that Melissa Olson is curating your piece, my piece, and adding it together to make a full show. It's really a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Hey, so like we got an 8-minute segment, and I want to pull this out of the air a little bit. And let's talk about it's something we don't really normally talk about in here, and anyone can excuse me chime in about this. But let's talk a little bit about culture vultures and what that means, and how our community suffers from culture vultures.
I think historically people have two ways. Some kind of tourism, so visiting a reservation or knowing a person and believing that made you connected to that person, and then you could kind of claim some things, which is the utmost of privilege in my opinion, and using that privilege in a way that sounds authoritarian when really you know what I mean? Have you ever had that? So Beverly Bushyhead, this is my Indian friend. Mm. You know what I mean? And then thinking you know something about me or my tribe or my family or something like that without that true knowledge. And so claiming something is one more way of colonization, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've run across people over the years that have said that they're some sort of made-up tribe or some really big tribe and that they're Native American and they're really not, and you can't follow. I mean, Curtis, people ask me what questions.
Right.
You know, what do they say?
Right. I know what you're saying. Too scared.
Well, they go, well, like, who are you and where are you from and what clan are you in?
What clan are you? Who's your grandma? Who's your granddaddy? Mm-hmm. Who is this? Who is that? You know, and they kind of get to you when they start questioning your background,
mm-hmm.
and it makes me feel very uncomfortable because maybe I don't want to, you know, like I told my sister Beverly over here, this, you know, I asked her a question, but I asked permission first.
Right.
You come up and ask me a question, you better ask me for permission, even to take my picture.
Mm-hmm.
You ask for permission, and then I'll answer that question, but don't ever question me.
Right. But, you know, it's good, too. I mean, I teach my daughters, like, if anyone asks who you are, and the opposite of what you just said was, like, they need to say what clan they are. You know, I say Helen McKee, Howard McKee Jr., Howard McKee Sr., I'm in the McKees, and I'm in the Eagle Clan. And if people can't answer that, that's an issue, I think.
Well, you just heard our brother that called in earlier, John. You know,
mm-hmm.
he introduced himself in his Indian name, his mm-hmm. clan, and he let you know right off the get.
Yeah.
And that's the way, you know, that's the way us Ho-Chunks do, you know. But anybody else is kind of a different story.
We had, Donna who introduced herself when she was on our show, Donna White Eagle, and she introduced herself in her language, what clan, and she introduced her children's names.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very powerful. I mean, because it was a little longer than usual, and it was just like, wow. And then she explained what she just did. Now, there's people out there, during Standing Rock and all those things that came out of nowhere and said that they were Native American. And what happens, I think, is they get found out eventually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Not knowing who you are. I think there's another part to claiming Native, and that is, does that people claim you?
Mm.
So do you belong in that community? It's more than just saying something, making a declaration, but do you belong? And that's a whole different community level.
And I think that's what Elizabeth Warren fell into because, you know, she was 10 generations away. That's fine. But have you ever been to, any community events with your so-called tribe or, you know, have you ever been anywhere? And I know people come and go, even if they are Native, come and go and take a selfie out of powwow and say they're Native and you never see them again.
Mm-hmm.
There's that side of it, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think Elizabeth Warren did something else that I find problematic, and that is benefiting from making that kind of claim, because Native people have a political status. It's not a racial group at all. It's a political status. nation to nation relationships, and that comes with a certain amount of responsibility on the state and government side. And so I think she benefited in employment or educational ways that really isn't fair and right.
I think it was on one of her college applications.
Mm.
And I saw it flash on Facebook when that whole controversy was happening. So there was a culture vulture right there in a sense,
right?
You know. So what can we do? I think we can ask people questions. Not everybody, like my cousin Dallas looks white, but he's more native than anyone I know.
Automatic.
He speaks the language.
He's fluent in his language too. My son.
And he along with Curtis are our spiritual guides and spiritual people in our family.
Right.
And so you can't go by looks, because I know I know a blonde haired, blue eyed Native American. She's enrolled and shows me her enrollment card, and she's half, and she just happens to take more on her twin looks totally Native, and it's bizarre. But those are things that happen. But she's able to answer and pull out her enrollment card and say, hey, you know. Oh, here I am. More as like, you know, people and one of the problems I think that happens too, and I was kind of glancing at Joe, but I have the same problem, is that, you know, I was adopted. So I really didn't know until like 5 years ago who I was and where I was from. I knew I was a little bit Winnebago, thought it, you know, I talked to the BIA. And they told me I was like what ended up being like 1/16th of Winnebago. And the BIA is another whole – we could do a whole story on the BIA, but they want to get rid of us. So,
right.
I mean, I'm not 1/16th. I'm a lot more than 1/16th. Let's just put it that way. Mm-hmm. And so they want to try and get rid of us. And then I found my birth family. I found Curtis. Mm-hmm. And then I found out who I am. And I didn't realize I was looking for who I am. Mm-hmm. Because what you say, you know, how rich a culture and people and tradition – and I like all those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really important to know who you are and to know what that means, like historically what that means. I think of it as like mapping, like where we belong in the world, where we belong in creation, who we are in lots of different ways. Because, I mean, learning your language is super important. I did my genealogy, and it took several years to trace my lineage back before contact. And looking at all of that, you don't just learn words and geographic locations. You learn your culture. You learn who cared about what and who could cook what and who knew what plants were edible. You just learn a whole lot through that. It's really important, I think.
Not only is it important, I think it's coming back. And I think my generation was slighted in the slighters, and now it's coming back in the next generation. The language, the medicines, and I think we lost it, and people were trying to tell us to melt into the fabric of this country, and now we're fighting back. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and that was Beverly Bushyhead. We'll be right back. Nation.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robinskaplan.com.
Your radio station for the resistance, The David Pakman Show, weeknights at 8 on AM 950 KTNF St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Alexander Field reports scores were injured.
So many others fighting for their lives. These are people who ranged in age. We know there are children as young as 2 years old who were rushed from the scenes of these mosques with injuries. We know that those who were killed came from a number of different countries. They had made their homes in New Zealand, some of them fleeing dangerous conditions, coming to a place that they considered safe. For those who escaped with their lives, they tell us this place that they always believed was the safest place they could be has been changed forever.
The suspect, a 28-year-old Australian, made a court appearance today and is accused of murder. He will face additional charges. A brutal winter storm that dumped large amounts of rain and snow on the Midwest is leaving severe flooding in its wake. Meteorologist Mark Chouinard says much of the area is waterlogged.
We're not expecting any more rain in the near term across the area, at least not any rain of significance. As far as the rivers, some of them are still rising a little bit. Others will crest and then begin to fall. But there's still going to be quite a bit of widespread flooding through the weekend.
The National Weather Service is warning of historic flooding in the Mississippi and Missouri River basins. President Trump's relationship with Congress is at a pivotal moment.
Both the House and Senate said no to the president's use of a national emergency declaration to fund a border wall. On Friday, the president said he was very proud to veto the measure. Public Citizen, the American Civil Liberties Union, and the state of California are all taking the president to court, challenging the constitutionality of his declaration. At the same time, the veto goes back to the House, where Speaker Nancy Pelosi has scheduled a March 26th vote to override the president, and if it's successful, then the Senate votes. But chances of a congressional veto override remain slim. Christopher Cruz, Washington.
I'm Ann Cates.
Oh, wow!
It can't be.
Oh, yes, yes, yes!
Oh, where have you been? If you snore, the first time you use Mute can be quite an experience.
I can breathe! I can breathe!
Snoring can happen when your nose is blocked, forcing you to breathe through your mouth. Mute is a comfortable nasal breathing device designed to increase airflow through the nose by gently opening the airways. Thanks to Mute, you get all the air you need through your nose and not your mouth, which means less snoring and more chance of sleep.
Oh, that's the best night I've had in years.
In trials, 75% of couples reported a reduction in snoring when using Mute. Available at Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid and other fine stores. To find your local store or for more information, go to mutesnoring.com. Mute. Breathe more. Snore less.
Crazy about pets? We are too. The Pet Connection Show is a great venue for fun, informative, and creative conversations about pets. Join myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Parole, along with guests who are leaders in the dynamic and growing pet industry, as we discuss healthcare, relationships, behaviors, and even political issues as they relate to our pets. So come, sit, stay for the Pet Connection Show, Sundays 11 a.m. to noon on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
It's Greek to Me has big news. They are now open for lunch, Tuesday through Sunday from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. That's right, you asked and they listened. Enjoy lunch amongst their new marketplace. If you can't join them in-house, make sure to check out their delivery services and remember them for your home or office takeout and catering. Visit It's Greek to Me on the corner of Lake and Lindale in Minneapolis at 626 West Lake Street in Minneapolis or at www.itsgreektomemn.com.
Tom Hartman here letting you know how you can save money with All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that it's too expensive and you need lots of money down. The truth? Solar is available for little or no money down. And if you have a great site for solar, you might even save money right away on a monthly basis. So don't wait to switch. You'll see your investment pay off the sooner you switch to All Energy Solar. So start saving today and visit allenergysolar.com.
Robbins Kaplan, LLP, protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be mostly sunny with a high near 35, and tonight, increasing clouds with a low around 20. Sunday, a 20% chance of snow before 1 p.m. with a high near 37. Monday, partly sunny with a high near 39 and a low around 27.
Don't miss the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Sunday only at the Ames Arena in Lakeville, featuring up to 150 home improvement companies, giveaways, and more. It's the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Sunday in Lakeville. See it all at expoguys.com. That's expoguys.com.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he didn't cut a dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
Hey, Cudigy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Hour 2 of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. We talk about Native issues and human issues are Native issues. I want my uncle to say what this portion's brought to you by.
Ha-ho, Pinagigachushke. This portion of the show is brought to you by Neighborhood Cafe. Good food and good friends. Also by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Well, we got to do that again, Joe, didn't we?
Howl!
There we go. All right. We are pre-America, the descendants of the people you couldn't kill off. For each show we discuss on Native Roots Radio, what is important to us. We talk about our sacred animals, native lands, and how their natural resources are in danger. We speak against pipelines that go through our native and treaty lands. We put out tobacco for our relatives that suffer from the alcohol and drug problem. We support all language warriors that are preserving our language and way of life. We pray for our relatives that have gone through the Indian residential schools. Kill the Indian, save the man. To our missing, murdered Native women, you are not forgotten. My blood is as ancient as the earth I stand upon. I pre-exist America. This show is dedicated for those who give back and fight back for our people. We are the resistance. We are awake. Hey, I want to really, you know, welcome Joe Wolf here. And Joe pinch hitting for Wendy again, and we got to get Joe a robe next time.
Yep, deserving one.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming here and bringing your truth. Let's hear your truth. And we know things Wendy talked about last week, the delisting of wolves, and I know we have some of that to talk about and some more about our sacred relatives, our sacred relatives with four legs.
Oh.
Thank you. Thank you, Robert. I substituted for Wendy once before, and at the time I said there is no substitute for Wendy.
Yeah. Oh.
And that is the truth. But I'm going to do my best to talk about some of the issues that I think Wendy is concerned about. Mm-hmm. And so the first one up is going to be a topic that I just discovered earlier this week. It was brought to my attention by the Humane Society of the United States, who Wendy often mentions.
Mm-hmm.
And this concerns 36 dogs that are in a laboratory in Michigan. Mm. And they are being force-fed pesticides by Dow AgroSciences as part of an experiment because they want to sell their pesticides in Brazil.
Mm.
According to the Humane Society, Brazil has already written to Dow AgroSciences and said that they don't need this testing, but yet they're continuing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the bad news is that these dogs are likely to die in their cages if they're not euthanized first and examined surgically. Mm. But HSUS is mounting an effort to get those dogs released, to stop this ghoulish experiment, which is unnecessary and it certainly is a horrible fate for those 36 dogs. So I'm going to suggest that if your listeners care about dogs like I do, that they go to humanesociety.org or just type HSUS into your browser window, and the first thing you will see is one of those poor dogs and an opportunity to sign that petition to get those dogs released.
And that's a Humane Society of the United States, and Wendy's a volunteer for them. And we'll put that up on our Facebook, a link on that too. So that's very important. I saw that pass by my my nose on Facebook this week.
Yeah, their time is running out, and of course, I hate to say this because I got three dogs myself and I love them all dearly, but one of the reasons these laboratories use dogs is because they're so eager to please and they're so eager for attention, so they're easy to manipulate.
Joe, so what is the purpose in using a dog for a pesticide? I don't get the concept.
Well, scientifically it's been proven that it's a lousy way to run a test because the presumption is that if the dogs survive, then the humans should survive. Mm. If the dogs get sick and die, well, then the humans might have a problem. It has been my experience as a scientist for many years that a lot of these industry-run studies have a desired outcome that they're going to get to no matter what happens.
Right.
And so
– and these were beagles, weren't they?
Beagles, yes.
And they have a more sensitive nose, I think, than most right. dogs.
And I'll warn people right now, if you do go to that page, you will see a picture of these people in lab coats injecting pesticide into the mouth of this poor beagle. So terrible thing. That's not how we treat our sacred animals, as you say, Robert. And so people have an opportunity to make a difference. But let's talk about the second item that you brought up, and that is just last week, week before last, they announced it at some kind of conference that they intended to delist the gray wolf in the Great Lakes states. And then on Thursday morning, the delisting order was issued. And essentially, this removes all of the federal protections on the gray wolf in America. That is, every wolf in America will be subject to hunting, be subject to poaching, which now is illegal, then would not be, and also raises the stakes as far as lethal action against wolves on the possibility that there might be some type of predation. And, of course, Howling for Wolves, as you mentioned, Robert, that's the organization that I'm with. We've been working for 6 years now to prevent the wolf from this kind of persecution and from, we believe, ultimately extinction.
You know, last week, Shirley, a lamb from Cloquet, a Native American.
Sheila.
Thank you, Sheila. Thank you, Sheila, said that what you do to the wolves is what you do to the women. And that's rung in my head for a whole week.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. And if we review just real quick the history, you know, their wolf was in America for 300,000 years. And when the Europeans came in, we all know what happened.
Right. Right.
You know, they were determined to subjugate everything here, not just the natives, but also the native animals. And by 1960 or so, wolves had been almost destroyed. The last population of wolves in America was in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd been killed everywhere else. And it was at that point when the federal government, some brave people in the federal government and the legislature in Washington decided that they needed to be protected. They put them on an endangered species list, and they've pretty much been there ever since. Department of Interior tried to delist them once in 2011, and that was overturned by the courts. So if we review, we killed almost all the wolves here in America. We suddenly realized, oh, my gosh, we made a terrible mistake. Let's protect them. They now exist in maybe 5% of their original range. 10% is the highest I've ever seen any scientist ever claim. And yet, just Thursday, the Department of Interior announced with great fanfare that they had successfully saved the wolf from extinction and that it was time to delist them and turn management over to the states. 5%. And I'll tell you what happens in every state once the wolves are no longer federally protected. They start hunting them. In Idaho, in the first year after delisting, somewhere between 50 and 60% of the wolves were killed. In Minnesota, after wolves were delisted, 25% of the population disappeared in the first year after the hunt. So this is what happens. Does this sound to anyone besides me like exactly what happened before 1960?
Right. Joe, there's some things that that your group and many groups have been working with the farmers, and there's grants and things out there to keep the wolves away from their farms. And can you talk a little bit about that in the last couple minutes here?
Sure, absolutely. The state of Minnesota has a non-lethal program, and what that means is there are lots of ways that have been proven successful, actually more successful than killing them, because when you kill them, you fracture the pack. And frequently, the younger members of the pack have not yet been taught how to hunt as a pack. Under those circumstances, they're starving. They look for slow-moving or captive prey, which would be a cow. Right? So you make it worse. So the state of Minnesota has a program, and it's up for funding renewal this year in the legislature. And that funding is used to create flattery, which is anything that makes noise or flaps in the wind. And that tends to keep the wolves away. They're smart enough to realize that if there are humans there, they do not want to be there. Mm-hmm. And I don't blame them. So that non-lethal program has been very successful. The ag people, the producers, the farmers are very eager for that funding. And so we're hopeful that the funding will be renewed. It's administered by the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. So we don't want to have a hunt. We ask everybody to stand with us. 80% of Minnesotans don't want the wolf destroyed. Mm-hmm. So contact your legislator, contact your representatives in Washington, and starting next week, go to howlingforwolves.org for information on how you can help do that.
That's perfect. And I also just got to throw this out for just the next 30 seconds, Joe. We need to contact one person in specific that's running for president that told me right to my face that I better – she'd be the first one to put a bullet in her gun to go shoot wolves once they get delisted, and that's our Amy Klobuchar.
Right, right.
So give her a big shout-out, too. She needs to hear it.
Yeah, she's not a friend of the wolf, and I have actually been to her office many times trying to get her to change her mind.
This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Native-owned Meg Mechanical is your local heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professional. Meg has the experience needed to diagnose and repair your heating and air conditioning systems. Whether repair or complete mechanical design, we do it all. No job is too big or too small. MAG Mechanical has completed projects as large as U.S. Bank Stadium and will provide the same great service in your home. Visit magmechanical.com or call 612-655-5339. Please remember MAG Mechanical when you have HVAC needs. Mention this ad to receive 1 hour of free service.
Be Resale, clothing, thrift, and consignment store located at 2613 Nicollet Avenue, Minneapolis. Be Resale, where casual, secondhand men and women's clothes are bought, sold, and traded at this easygoing shop. Be Resale. Find jewelry, sunglasses, shoes, hats, purses, pants, shirts, and more. Be Resale, where you can find Native Roots Radio I'm Awake swag. Be Resale. That's a small B, period.
When we go out to browse for books and grab something to eat, Moon Palace Books is where we go.
This unique bookstore is located at 3032 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, just minutes from St. Paul.
A great place to find one-of-a-kind books, cards, and great gifts.
Geek Love Cafe at Moon Palace Books has cold-pressed coffee, pizza, salads.
Local, organic, fair trade, vegan, carnivore options.
Beer and wine.
Community and performance room.
Great parking.
What are we waiting for? Let's go to
Moon Palace Books, 3032 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Moon Palace Books, 3032 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
Man, we have a—oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You have another
and
one.
And also, Be Resale, Vintage and Consignment, 2613 Nicollet Avenue.
Nicollet Avenue. You can go get those T-shirts and
all our swags there
for sale. It goes to a good cause.
It sure does.
The Bob Pilot Fund.
Oh, my goodness.
But
Donate.
Who? Hey, so, you know, we have another partner, and this has been a show of partnerships. We have another partner, Mary Kunish Podine, and she's going to be she's a descendant, and her mother's an enrolled member of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, and she's also a representative in the DFL in District 41B, and then she has an update at the House. Here she is.
Hi, everyone. It's Representative Kunish Podine, 41B, coming to you with some information about what happened at the Capitol this week. I want to share with you a bill that I carried and we had a really good hearing about. It's House File 1100, and it was to fill the gap between the federal dollars going to our four BIE schools, so that we can put them on equal footing with all the other public schools. And so it's important to remember that back in the day when the United States signed all those treaties with the Indian tribes, it basically stripped them of their land and made all kinds of promises to provide all kinds of services. And one of those was education. And that was to be served to the tribal members into perpetuity. And of course, we know that the federal government has never met the full responsibility of their promises. So for generations, Native children have been left behind in so many ways. And of course, education being one of the most valuable, but also the least attended to. So fortunately, Minnesota has, for the last 8 years for sure, has stepped up and filled the gap between those federal dollars going to our four BIE schools. And we've been bringing that per pupil funding in line with all of Minnesota students. And it's made a big difference in less than a decade. Suspensions are down, graduation is up, scores are up, truancy is down. All kinds of really good things are coming out of being able to create a very culturally relevant educational process. The four schools that are funded here in Minnesota are the four tribal government, and they are through a contract and grant. One is the Bagonigishi School in Bina, the Circle of Life School in White Earth, the Fond du Lac Ojibwe School in Cloquet, and Neashing School in Onamia. You know, it's absolutely heartbreaking that across the country, American Indian and Alaska Native students are disciplined more than any other racial group. And their dropout rate has been twice that national average. And it just, it breaks my heart. But, you know, with so many of our leaders and education experts saying that these dismal statistics reflect basically overt discrimination, the result is that our Native students feel alienated in so many of our school systems outside of the BIE schools. And there are few Native teachers, as we know, limited lessons on Native American history and culture. And this really has a dismal effect on our Native kids. So since the 70s, on and off, Minnesota has been working to allocate money to enhance those learning opportunities of our Native students. And those schools are, again, among the poorest in our nation. So the four BIE schools that we have now in Minnesota are thriving. They're offering a really unique learning environment where Native language and culture is, again, valued and it's respected and it's honored. The tribal schools are a really valuable choice that are available to American Indian parents and students, and even our non-American, our non-Native families and students. And they really work hard to revitalize the language, the Ojibwe languages, and teaching the culture, of course, is very important with the incorporation of elders and those who understand the culture so well. And they recognize that ability to choose the option for their students, because this was long denied to tribal people. Remember back in the day when we had the boarding schools, students were punished severely when they spoke their language or practiced any kind of their culture. And now it's to be encouraged and revitalized. So what House File 1100 does is it makes permanent that higher maximum amount of the per pupil aid for our tribal contract schools. And it's going to link the maximum aid allowance to the the growth in the general education formula for years and years to come. So basically, they're going to make up the difference between what the federal government has been paying, what every other kid in Minnesota gets as their per pupil formula. And that's going to continue on as long as we can. Because in the past, we'd have to go back to the legislature every 2 years and renew that understanding or renew those funds. But what House File 1100 does is it takes away that two-year request to go back and ask again for the money, and it will just be a continual formula. So, like, example, for the past 4 years, that maximum funding for the tribal schools was set at $3,230 per pupil. And under the current law, if we don't renew it every 2 years, that maximum aid per pupil drops back to about $1,500 per pupil. And so what this would do is to make it permanent, that $3,230 per student. So going back to what we know, that the federal leadership has failed to honor so many of the sacred pledges. It's left generations of our Indigenous folks so far behind. And so it's important that we go ahead and support this bill to ensure adequate funding so that all of our Minnesota students for today's generation and our generations to come have that meaningful and intentional and targeted education opportunities that really reflect the American Indian students and their community. So with that, I will sign off, and I just wanted to share some good legislation that we're working on at the Capitol. And if you have the opportunity, contact the senators over at the Capitol and tell them that they need to support House File 1100. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods, where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
While I'm pregnant, I can keep our baby safe by not drinking, smoking, or using drugs. But how are we going to keep her safe after she's born?
When I grow up, I look forward to dancing in powwows, going to college, and being successful. But I don't want to be one of three American Indian women to be raped or sexually assaulted in her lifetime.
As relatives and friends of Native women, it is our responsibility to stand up and speak out for every woman's right to be safe in her home and the community.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
When we go out to browse for books and grab something to eat, Moon Palace Books is where we go.
This unique bookstore is located at 3032 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, just minutes from St. Paul.
A great place to find one-of-a-kind books, cards, and great gifts.
Geek Love Cafe at Moon Palace Books has cold-pressed coffee, pizza, salads.
Local, organic, fair trade, vegan, carnivore options.
Beer and wine.
Community performance room.
Great parking.
What are we waiting for? Let's go to
Moon Palace Books, 3032 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be mostly sunny with a high near 35, and tonight, increasing clouds with a low around 20. Sunday, a 20% chance of snow before 1 p.m. with a high near 37. Monday, partly sunny with a high near 39 and a low around 27. Your Eat Local Minnesota's restaurant of the week is the Downtowner Woodfire Grill. The Downtowner is the perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Experience their cozy fireside dining alongside their delicious food and extensive wine list. Check out the full menu at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Say, this is one of my favorite portions of the show, probably because it's the end of the show. But hey, so I'm going to tell you quickly who this this portion is brought to you by, and I'm going to do it in my wrestling voice. Midwest Wrestling, Women for Nations, a Native American domestic shelter. Last year's fundraiser, we did 857 people in the Minneapolis American Center and raised over $10,000. So that's happening on May 11th, 2019. And I think Curtis is going to be in there. We're going to put the sleeper on Curtis in the middle of the...
I'm going to bring my steel chair.
It's going to be hidden under the ring.
That's right, Gorilla.
That's right. So here's Curtis. With Midwest All-Star Wrestling presents Curtis West.
Jack.
Ha ho, pinagigi chuske. We are awake, over here, Jack. My name is Mashke Hanajinga. I walk on a white cloud. My colonized name today, in honor of St. Patrick's Day, is Curtis Ochoka. And that's what they're going to call me today. So anybody that knows anything about that stuff. But, yeah, I'd like to say something that my chuske likes to he gives me the okay. He gives me permission, even though I'm an elder, you know, and he can give me permission. So he gives me permission to give out some shout-outs, some birthdays, some events, and stuff like that. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to try to stay in your ear for about a couple minutes. So I want to say happy birthday to my son and daughter's mother, Shelly. Happy birthday, Shelly. And I got to give a shout-out to my my favorite and only mother-in-law down in Iowa. So happy birthday to you, Doris. I know you're listening. You told me you were going to listen. And so anyway, another one that we're going to say happy birthday to is my chujunk over there, my brother Nache. He's the youngest out of our brothers. And his daughter, Brittany, she turned birthday today. So we're going to say happy birthday to her.
She turned birthday today?
She turned birthday girl today. That's what I was going to say. But anyway, then we got another one. I call her my cousin, but in Indian way, she's my sister. And her name's Annie McKee Ruffridge down there in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And then I got a brother-in-law. His name is David. David Josephson. I don't know how old he is, but he'll lie if I knew anyway. But yeah, say happy birthday, David. Then I got another sister over there named Vicky Reed, and happy birthday to her, you know. And I want to give a happy birthday shout out to this Omaha brother of mine from Omaha, Nebraska. We called him Chili Mac back in the day. So happy birthday, George McCauley. So happy birthday again like that. And then, you know, they always tell me too, you know, I might be an old guy, you know, but there's somebody a couple hours, maybe a couple minutes older than me. So I got to give a shout out and respect to my elders.
Oh.
Yeah, so anyway, I don't forget my elders, so I'm going to give a shout-out to all these elders that I know that sent in me messages and stuff like this. So elders from God's country of Wisconsin. And so we're going to say happy birthday to David White Eagle, Annie White, Virgil Pettibone Jr., and Dennis Whitehorse. So we're going to say happy birthday like that to them elders and many more blessed ones. That's what we pray for, you know, like that. So anyway, so I want to give out some shout-outs before I get into the events. You know, and I want to give a shout out to John Greendeer.
Oh,
you know, that was very good, man. Them are real positive and encouraging words that you gave us. And you know, I learned some stuff from you that I didn't know, and I'm looking forward to listening to you more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give a shout out to all Native country. You know, no matter what, you know, I'm Ho-Chunk, but I say all out to Native country, whatever nation you're from, be proud of it. You know, so we say that much, you know, and like that, you know, and then. You know, like I was saying before, you know, I wanted to say a shout out to a good a relative of ours and friend of mine, Barry Hand. You know,
Hello. So
we want to say hi, Barry. I know you're listening, and we force you to listen to us.
And what they got going on Monday? They have where they teach the students over there on the east side dance and regalia making.
Yep.
Shout out to Maggie Lorenz and Barry Hand.
Aho. And then, like Robert said, in his best wrestling voice, you know, we want to give a shout out to Maw. You know, Midwest All Star Wrestling. You know,
that's right, Jack.
That's right. And we want to say hi to David and Eli over there. You know, I'm looking forward to that thing coming up, like you said, on the 11th of May.
Rumor has it they're going to be on next week.
I'm looking forward, Jack. Yeah. And anyway, so I want to say that much. And, you know, I'm going to say happy St. Paddy's Day to all your Irish relatives out there. So I'm going to say ho-ho to you guys out that way.
In St. Paul.
In St. Paul, man. Just don't drink too much of that green Kool-Aid. Yeah. But anyway, we're going to say some events, you know, and, you know, like we said earlier, and we heard from John, you know, language is very important to every nation, you know, it's very important. So Ho-Chunk Nation language class is on Monday for beginners at 5:30 at the branch office. And on Thursday, it's a beginners and advanced students together at 6:30. And like me and Chuske always say, you know, it'd be nice to share a dish, bring a dish in there. And otherwise, if not, put on a big feed bag because there'll be plenty of food there. You know, you know who I'm talking about. Yeah, so anyway, and on March 22nd, it's a Friday from 6 to 9 p.m., it's going to be the World Water Day. Water is sacred to all of us. You know that as well as I do. And it's going to be at 3400 South DuPont Avenue, Minneapolis. You know, it says honor the sacredness of water. And then another one we've got coming up here on Saturday, March 23rd, and we'll keep pumping this one up. It's Honor the Earth, second annual Spring Powwow from 12 to 8 at the Pine Point School. That's 48075 Powell Highway in Ponsford, Minnesota. You know, it's like that. And then I want to mention it again, and I want to say about that Midwest All-Star Wrestling for Women and Nations Eagle Nest Shelter. It's May 11th at Sibley High School in Mendota Heights, you know, and like that. So the other thing we got coming up, too, on the event is on March 17th at 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. and March 20th at 7:30 p.m. It's called College Education. It's a play. It's at the, what is it called again? Dreamland Theaters in St. Paul, the new Native Theater. So if that's, yeah. if I got that right, Beverly, correct me if I'm wrong.
It's just new Native Theater.
Hey, not the. Thank you, Beverly. I knew you. Hey, do I always have a woman in here to keep me and Robert humble? Thank you. Miss you, Wendy.
Yeah, and that's Rihanna Yazzie's group that she's been working hard with for or started years ago, and she's been on the show, and it's really exciting to support new Native theater. They're always doing something.
Yeah, it's a fantastic show. I went to see it a couple nights ago. It's really good.
Nice.
Oh, that's a good one. We're going to have to go. So, Choka, do you have any words of wisdom?
I got one thing I wanted to bring up today. It goes like this. It says, you can give a person knowledge, but you can't make them think. Some people want to make and remain fools only because the truth requires change.
Ooh, those are good ones every week. Say, we're missing Wendy, and it was really great of Joe to come in and pinch hit for Wendy. She'll be back next week. And also, I just want to mention to people that are listening right now, we're going to do the Mac McNeil show Monday, and we're going to be on live, and we're going to have Dave Hutchin, and Wendy's going to speak some truth about what's going on with the delisting of wolves to a different audience. So that's going to be exciting. We're going
to be hope nice to open up for more audience.
Yeah, well, Curtis might stop in and
I'm not going to miss this.
So, do you have anything going on? We got some shows happening soon here. Every Wednesday
we've got shows going on. It's kind of fun. Something we're doing the next couple of weeks is a 2019 Indigenous Music Tour, featuring music from all over the continent, actually, and then also a DJ party. So that'll be fun.
That will be fun. Yeah, Curtis.
Yeah, one more I forgot to say. We got a new relative that just had her first birthday. Her name is Lindley Whitworth, and she's from Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Hey, I know a lot of Ho-Chunk down there.
Ahoo.
Say hello to my birth mother.
Happy birthday, Lindley.
Ahoo, yeah, that's great. So, you know, this has been a really good show, and we're really excited for all our partners were here today. You know, Joe, we had John Greendeer, Ho-Chunk Nation, Robbins Kaplan, we had Brendan Johnson of Robbins Kaplan, and
John Greendeer.
Yep, and Mary Kanush Podine, and Beverly Bushyhead. And
oh my God, what a show!
What a show! This was a good show. I'm gonna hurt my hand patting ourselves on the shoulder on that one. This was a good show.
My wrist is really sore right now.
Yeah. So any last words, Joe?
Yeah, I just want to mention one other thing. You're going to see in the news with the DNR and some of the other folks who want to have a hunt of our wolves, they're going to say that we're over our quota. We got plenty of wolves. Well, the law actually says we should have a minimum number of 1,600 wolves. To say that that's our quota is like saying I'd like to graduate college with a D-, the absolute bare minimum. There is no limit on how many wolves we could have or even should have to keep our environments healthy. So don't believe those lies. They're not factual, and we need the wolf in the forest.
That's right. You know, and just that study, that beautiful video they did a few years ago, Yellowstone Park, everyone needs to watch that, because that's really – the wolves are very important, not only to Native Americans, but also to the Mother Earth and to Father Sky and to the ecology and all the things that make us
Lords of nature. Yeah. Lords of Nature is that story, that the wolves are crucial to keeping the ecosystem in Yellowstone healthy, Otherwise, it's destroyed by too much grazing.
Yeah, that's cool. So, you know, I thought the clock was off. That's why I was saying that. You said we only had 3 minutes. So I was like ending the show here, and the show's not over. So anybody got a joke?
Hey, I got something. I got something that I forgot to bring up, and I apologize for that.
Oh, this is a good one, yeah.
This one's coming up on Thursday, March 28th. It's another event. It's called Without Walls. It's Recognizing Barriers to Reclaiming Your Indigenous Identity. It's 5 to 8 p.m. at the Black River Falls Tribal Office. And what they're talking about on this Without Walls, and you know, is that, you know, they're trying to get us that we're over here in Twin Cities and we're not in God's country over in tribal land. So we don't get recognized and we don't have a voice, so we get talked down on. So they're trying to regroup us and bring that back in so that we're all on the same page. And we are, should be on the same page. But there's one I got for you, Chuske. I was going to bring it up. I told you I asked, and I said that you would buy somebody a cup of coffee. I got a riddle. All right? And I'm not going to give you the answer until next week. And you come on our website and you give me the answer, and then Robert will buy you a cup of coffee. But
Folgers.
The riddle is
some Folgers.
Yeah, Folgers, whatever. And here's the question: what runs but doesn't walk? What has a mouth but doesn't eat? What stays awake but never sleeps?
Whoa, that's heavy. I don't know.
Well, stay tuned, sports fans.
Are you going to slip me the answer to that?
Cup of coffee coming on.
Hey, you know what? This has been a great show. I would like to end with these thoughts. If you've been listening to this show, you are... Oh, we have 3 minutes?
We are still in the third segment of this hour.
Wow. We don't know what's going on. We're going to be right back after this short message, and then we're going to do the hand puppets, the shadow puppets. We'll be right back.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Genocide, lost language, rape, isolation, forced assimilation, colonization, assault, disease and torture, school, lost sexual family, abuse, relocation, lost customs, allotment, hate, reservation. Fear.
History has taken its toll on our families. Our fathers and grandfathers, our mothers, our grandmothers, they didn't deserve to be raped and abused. I don't deserve to be raped and abused. Today I walk with pride. I'm reclaiming my body, my heritage, and traditional customs that value all living things. I'm learning healthy boundaries, and I stand with Minnesota Indian women to end sexual violence. Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it. We're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin. Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ho-Chunk Nation, the people with the sacred voice.
Yes, they do. Say, you know, I'm glad that we're human here and we're on live radio. We just proved that to everybody. We thought the show ended and we were like already packing up and leaving.
Hey, we're part human, part amazing.
You weren't lying when you said you needed Wendy here.
Did you hear that, Wendy? Good one,
thanks,
Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
hey,
hurt.
So the truth hurts. So, hey, we still have everybody here, and I know we were talking during break that Beverly has a question for Joe, and that's awesome because that leaves Curtis and I out. So you
right.
guys let us know when the show ends. We'll jump in.
I just had a couple of questions. With the information that you shared, much of it was new for me, so I'd never heard of it before, and I wondered what your opinion is about these two questions. One is, if the testing on animals was somehow we would respond to that, I don't necessarily believe that's true because we know some things. We see it in the news all the time. We know some things are poison and it's still on the market and it's still impacting people and it's still creating cancer. Do you know what I mean? So there's a part of me.
Roundup.
Yeah, that wonders kind of like what you feel about this whole testing thing and that tenacious holding on to it.
Well, I think a lot of it is because this is the way they've always done it. And I hate to be cynical, but at 71, almost 71, it's difficult not to be. I think a lot of organizations continue to do things for the sole purpose of keeping their organization functional and keeping the income and the salaries and so forth. And so something like this is just gets a life of its own. As you've pointed out, there's all kinds of things on the market that are being recalled all the time. So obviously the testing is not foolproof. And if it's not going to protect us, I don't see why the animals have to suffer. That's my view.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, if you talk to somebody younger, a millennial, and told them about this, they'd be in shock because they've been brought up in a different way of thinking. This is, like you were saying, such an old way of thinking. Mm-hmm. You know, let's torture this animal so we're safe.
Right. Right, and I could see if it was actionable and we actually did something about that instead of continue, I would understand it better, I think.
And again, this is my cynicism showing, but does any of us really believe that if there was a bad result from this testing that those products would never be sold to the country of Brazil?
Huh.
I just can't believe that. I think they're going to be sold no matter what happens.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So sometimes I think a lot of these things are window dressing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way that products got their pedigree in the past, no pun intended, and this is a way that they think will make the product more saleable or make it more respectable or make it safer from a legal point of view. So.
And I think, too, people, at least in the last 10 years, the positive side of this is I can look at things now, and if it has a bunny rabbit on there, I'm not going to buy it because that means it hasn't been tested on animals. And you'd be surprised what has been tested or doesn't have that little bunny rabbit on there. Hmm. I mean, stuff that I use all the time I can't use anymore because they tested on animals, and I don't support that.
Mm-hmm. Shirley is very, very strict about it has to be Leaping Bunny approved. And if it isn't, we don't buy it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple. So you can always vote with your dollars.
Yes. That's
the one
Absolutely.
Thing that counts in this country is your dollars.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, does it ever. You know.
I thought it was an interesting comment that you made about one of your guests and supporters around what happens to animals is happening to women. And so I wanted your comment. The second part of my question was toxic masculinity and its connection to hunting wolves or animals in that particular way.
Well, I think you have to ask the question that Curtis brought up during the break. Why kill wolves? People don't eat wolves. Mm. People don't raise wolves for a farming operation for meat. Most of these wolves wind up as a fur, as a pelt hanging on a wall. And it's basically a testament to someone's masculinity that they were able to go out and sort of like the caveman, provide for the family to kill a top predator. That's why they like to kill a wolf, because it's the top predator and it gives them some ascension above all of animal life. And I just think it's a ego compensation mechanism.
Right, and you know, if it was a true sport, like I said earlier, like the bear would have a gun too.
Right.
You know, seriously, or the wolf.
Well, especially now, you know, people are using hunters are using high-powered rifles with infrared cameras and scopes, and in many states, wolves are allowed to be baited. I hate to bring this up at the end of the show, but there are examples of them using the sound of suffering pups to lure the parent wolves to try and protect the pups.
Mm-hmm. So really, to me, all of that wrapped up in a statement is this is about redefining power.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Wow. Well, Beverly is going to be co-hosting our show someday here. That was good. Those were good questions. You know, and you know what? It just keeps echoing in my head, and I said this two segments ago, was what Sheila Lamb said, and it's like, you know, like you brought up, it's like, what happens to the wolf, and she's a wolf clan, I can't remember what nation she is, happens to us Native women. And, you know, with all the murdered, missing Indigenous women that are going, you know, bye-bye, never to be seen again. You know, again, last night, too, I was just watching the news where they were bringing up that girl that escaped, that 13-year-old girl that escaped. And I've never seen so much news on one person in my life where we have Native American boys and women disappearing daily and never hear a peep out of it in the news.
Mm-hmm. No media coverage.
Yeah. And so how does that change? That changes in shows like this. Shows like that you do, and stories that you tell and that we all tell. Because, you know, I think this show is started because of Standing Rock, and we told people about Standing Rock and they were like amazed. They'd give me money, they'd give me clothing because they knew I was going to Standing Rock, but they didn't hear it on the news. Mm. And so I think what happened in 1987 when Reagan deregulated a lot of things, including mass news and radio stations, where certain people can only own, you know, before it was a monopoly. Now right. Monopolies are legal, and the president now wants to even make more monopolies legal. And I think that's a thing that we need to fight back to on a daily thing. Thank goodness that AM 950 is owned by one person and not by Gannett or whoever, whatever the names are, because they're always changing. But, you know, there's three businesses that own the airwaves. And that's why it's important for KFAI and all the neighborhood radio stations to still be out there and telling our stories and our truth.
Right.
So this time, take two. I would like to end with these thoughts for real. If you've been listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops Crow, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. And I've been your host, Robert Pilot. The revolution is kicking into high gear. I would like to thank our listening audience, along with Joe Wolf, Beverly Bushhead, John Green Deer.
Hey, say that right, Beverly Bushhead.
Bushhead. Uh-oh. We miss Wendy, but we got Beverly here.
Mary.
Yeah. We are the seventh generation.
We are awake.